fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Of course, this is a psalm of David, one of the most well-known and one of the most famous psalms that there is in the book of Psalms. And it is beloved by many, saved and unsaved alike. We're going to look at verse number 3 this morning, try to make sure that we understand about the purification of David's shepherd today, what it takes to get purified. Now, we will turn through some scriptures today, so I hope you got your fingers ready because we're going to get you to look at a few things today. Well, let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for being not just my shepherd, but the shepherd of all those that have trusted Christ as Savior. And I do pray, Lord, for those that need to make a decision to trust Christ, that today they would do so by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. You said, except the man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He can't see the kingdom of God. You said, except the man repent, Lord, he shall all likewise perish. So I pray, Lord, today you get some heart, some man, some woman, some boy or girl that would see Jesus Christ high and lifted up, see him as the shepherd as well as the Savior, and they would repent of sin and, Lord, confess their sins and call upon you to be saved. And for us as Christians, Lord, help us to see the purification process that you, as our shepherd, does in our lives as you lead us for your righteousness' sake, Lord. Thank you so much for giving us a great day thus far. Bless down the message, bless in the song as well, that our hearts would be challenged and stirred to do according to thy will. Now we thank you and love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. speak, will take us where we need to go. He will take us repeatedly and consistently. Amen. And we can always depend on him. Well, we're going to continue going on in our study of Psalm 23, and I do trust that you have been receiving a blessing from the Psalms and in general. We will have a review here probably coming up at the end of this month or the beginning of next month, just to kind of see where we've come from, back from Psalm 121. I mean, remember the psalm that we started the whole year off with? I will lift up mine eyes in the hills. When come my help? My help cometh from the Lord, Psalm 121. So we'll be giving a brief review on that probably here in the next week or so. Amen. Looking at some things there. But today we're going to try to cover at least verse 3 and get that done in its entirety. Give you some review points here. And we will turn quite a bit today in our scripture area just to make sure that you see some areas. I would encourage you to write some things down today as we look at verse number 3 as well. One of the things that I do want to put before you again is that if the Lord Jesus Christ is not your shepherd, make him your shepherd today. I encourage you to do so. You say, preacher, how do you do that? Become his. David was able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. You know why he said it? He said, you know what? His position is high. He's the Lord. Then he said, he's mine. I've got a possession on him. Amen. I'm his and he is mine. Then he said, he provides all of my need. Amen. He said, because of that position and that possession, he said, you know, the provisions are met. I shall not want. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And if you make the Lord your shepherd today, you will go far. Amen. If he's not your shepherd today, you're going to have some times of want and need in your life. And you need a shepherd. Everybody needs someone to guide them along so that they can follow. Amen. And so we come down to verse number 2. Not only do we see the position of the shepherd and the possession of the shepherd and the provision of the shepherd, we saw something else as well in verse number 2, the production of David's shepherd. And we saw that the shepherd produces rest for the sheep. Amen. Rest from fear, rest from those flies like we talked about as well. Rest from that friction, rest by fracture, as we talked about last week, what happened to me, and rest for food, so that also the sheep can get rest, because that's where they're going to get the rest, in the green pastures. And not only did we see the shepherd produces rest for the sheep, he maketh me to lie down, but also he produces refreshment for the sheep. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And we saw that the sheep are very skittish, and so they are not going to drink from just any old water, and they need to have water brought in or manufactured by the shepherd, or they've got to be by a fountain, a stream, or a spring. Or we found out that they get it from biting on the plants and chewing on the plants and have the dew on it, and they can get a good majority of their water source from the dew on the plants. Which brings us to verse number 3, the purification of David's shepherd. The purification, and we saw a little bit of this last week, verse number 3. He said down there, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's why we sang the song this morning, he leadeth me. He leadeth me. Oh, praise his name. It is Jesus Christ who wants to lead us. By the way, I did mention this. If he's leading, guess what we have to do? Got to follow. If I'm not going to follow, then it's not going to do me any good for him to lead. Amen. All we like sheep have gone where? Astray. What have we done? We've turned every man to his own way. Amen. And so I need to have someone that I'm going to follow. And by the way, let me give you this here. You might not agree with this. I'm going to give it to you anyway, though. Everybody is following somebody. So you're following somebody. Your shepherd may not be the Lord, amen, but you're following somebody that is your shepherd, who you're counting on, who you're relying on, who you're getting wisdom from and information from. And it's not godly wisdom all the time. It's not righteous wisdom all the time. It's not things that are good for you all the time, but everybody is following somebody. Say, preacher, I'm my own man. Well, you're following self then, amen. And everybody's following somebody. It's just the nature of sheep, amen. It's just the nature of sheep. And if you're following self, that is the flesh. Amen. You just turn that thing around. Amen. And the flesh is of the devil. I don't like that, preacher. Amen. What did Satan say? I will be like the Most High. I will set my throne up there. I. What did Adam say when it was all said and done? I saw that fruit and ate it. Amen. My wife gave it to me and I did eat. I.
So I'm following somebody. The purification of the shepherd. I'm so glad that the shepherd, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, goes to great lengths to restore our soul and then lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. There are some things that we need to be restored from. And we talked about the sheep and how the sheep will oftentimes have to get restored because they have found themselves in a cast position. We saw that cast meant that they were on their back side here on their backs with all four of their legs sticking up, and they can't restore themselves, and they need the shepherd to sit them upright. And sometimes we find out it was in their minds. They chose too comfortable of a spot and they rolled over in a ditch. And we sound, for the Christian, in our minds, we can get too comfortable as well, too much in a rut. We don't want to do anything. Amen. By the way, Christians can get in the rut. We don't want to challenge. We don't want to change. We don't want to memorize scripture. We don't want to read the Bible. We don't want to come to soul winning. We don't want to do anything. Why? I'm comfortable, preacher. Y'all looking at me with that look. 7 o'clock is early, Pastor. Why? Yeah, it is early. But guess what? You go out at 12 o'clock, you're going to die. So now you can go out at 12 o'clock if you want to, amen, but we're going to stick with 7 o'clock, amen. What am I saying? Sometimes we can get cast in our minds. We can get, our minds are too comfortable. Sometimes the material things get the sheep down. He's too heavy with the wool, and he rolls over. And we found out that sometimes we have material things that we cling to. And the Bible clearly says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. Love the world, love the Father's not in him. And so the world can get us down. We're all fours up, and we need the shepherd to restore us. Then we found that last thing, we found out that the sheep, sometimes their motives, they get lethargic, they get lazy because they overeat. Amen. And so when you get full, oftentimes you get lazy and lethargic. And so the shepherd found out that these are three things in the mind and their materials and their motives. The sheep can get cast, and they can get on their backsides. And we too can be carnal oftentimes, as we saw last week. And so when that happens, several things need to happen to the sheep, because the sheep can't restore themselves. Amen. Can you forgive your own sin? I don't think so. You need some outside intervention, amen. You need the shepherd to help you out. And so we're going to look at, first of all, the purification by restoration. The purification by restoration. Notice what he says down in verse 3. He says, he restoreth my soul. And the restore means to get me from my cast position and to sit me upright. The word restore actually means to bring back again, to recover, refresh, or restore. It does happen to us from time to time when you and I need to be set upright. We're not always walking together with God. Amen. Let's just be honest. I'm not the only one in here that's that way. Amen. Preacher, I'm always walking with God. No, you're not. No, you're not. The minute you sin, you're not walking with God anymore, because in him is light and no darkness at all. Amen. Said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen. But if I'm not walking in light, guess what? I'm walking in the shade, which is the dark. Amen. When the soul gets so sorrowful, he revives it. When it gets sinful, he sanctifies it. When it gets weak, he's able to strengthen it. And you think about people that I talked about last week that needed some restoration. David was one that needed the restoration. What did David do? David coveted. He saw Bathsheba washing herself. He went to inquire about Bathsheba. And then what did he do? He came in and committed adultery with her. He should have been at the battle, but he wasn't. And so he coveted after her. Then he went and asked for her. She came in. He committed adultery with her. Then he sent her back and had her husband murdered. And then if that wasn't good enough, after he had him murdered, he took her for wife to try to cover it all up, like she really got pregnant while she was here, when he knows she didn't. And it wasn't until down the road when Nathan came to him and said, thou art the man, that David said, you know what? I give. It was me. It was me. Hey, but all that point, before that, David was getting deeper and deeper into sin. He had rolled over in the ditch. His feet were up, and one sin led to another. And now he's crying out to God, create in me a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He was at the point when he was on his back, and David needed to be restored. I submit to you, sometimes you and I need to be restored. We may not do what David did, but guess what? Sin is sin. Well, I just told a small lie. Well, how many lies does it take to become a liar? Well, it was a small one. That matters not. It was a white one. Okay, it was a purple one. Well, the white lies aren't as good, aren't as bad as the black ones or the purple ones or the green ones or the blue ones. A lie is a lie and sin is sin. What am I saying? David was at the point where he said in Psalm 51:12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. What happened? He needed to be restored. And what did David say? He restoreth my soul. How many of you remember Apostle Peter? Peter needed to be restored. What happened to Peter? Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, I will die for you. I wouldn't do such a thing. He said, you're going to deny me three times, Peter. Before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And what happened? He denied him once. Denied him twice, denied him that third time. And guess what happened? Peter went fishing. Cock crowed, he went out there. He was out. If it were not for Jesus coming looking for him to restore him, Peter would probably still be fishing until the day that he died. But Jesus said, hey, look, have you any meat? They said, no. He said, cast your net over on the other side and you'll catch some. And they found that it was the Lord. Peter jumped out of the boat and ran up to Jesus. And Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said, if you do, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. What did he do? He restored him back. He gave him his position back. Jesus said, you know what? You blew it. You know what? You were cast. You know what? You were down with all fours up. You had no way of coming back. And I came and I got you. That's what the shepherd does. Hey, you and I sometimes get in a cast position where there's no way for us to get out of it. And like David and like Peter, we have to say, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. I don't know about you, but I like that. I like the fact that my shepherd comes looking for me when I'm in a position where I'm really not looking for him. And I'm in a position where I really don't want to see him because it's because of my foolishness that I'm on my back in the first place. I did this to me. He didn't do it to me. I did it to me. And guess what? In his grace and his mercy, he comes and says, let me restore you like I did David. Let me restore you like I did to Peter. Let me restore you like I did to Jonah. Let me restore you like I did to so many others before you. By the way, John chapter 21 and verse 16, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. God knows that we love him. Now, it's just a degree of love that we have. And by the way, he called Peter on the carpet about his love. God knows to what degree you love him. And we have to ask the question, do we know what degree we love him? Amen. Hey, I tell you what, when you're often getting restored in your soul, you're more appreciative. You know, if you're one of these folks where you hardly ever sin, you're walking on water, amen, praise God for you. That's not me. I'm having to continually come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm on my back again. Lord, all fours are up. God, I can't do a thing for myself. God, help me. And you know what he does? He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Say, preacher, what is the soul? Their souls were devastated. Peter's soul was devastated. David's soul was devastated by what they did. The soul is the mind, the emotions, and the will. When our souls need to be restored, that means that my mind has been defiled by sin. Something in my mind has been defiled. Something in my emotions has been damaged. Something in my will has been defeated when I really don't want to do right. Peter didn't really want to do right. He's out there fishing. He had a clear commission from the Lord to get busy. And Peter's fishing. You know what? In his will, he was defeated. In his mind, he was defiled. I blew it. I let God down. I denied him three times. David, I committed adultery. I lied. I committed all these sins. I'm a murderer. David was defiled in his mind. I'm not holy. I'm not pure. I'm not what God wants me to be. His mind, he was defiled. And in his emotions, he was damaged. And his will, he was defeated. And friends, we get like that sometimes. I know I do. I'm defeated, I'm damaged, and I'm defiled, and I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and God, I don't want to touch myself. I feel like a leper. And God says, but I'll touch you. I'll touch you. Just one touch of the master's hand, Mrs. Dawson saying. Just one touch. Sometimes the shepherd has to come and restore our mind, our emotions, and our will, which comprises the soul of man. Because our minds are defiled, our emotions are damaged, our will is defeated. David would say in Psalm 42 and verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Psalm 42 verse 11, he'd say again, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Psalm 43 and verse 5, he would say it again, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? What David was saying, why am I cast down and my soul is defiled. My soul is damaged. My soul is defeated. I'm defeated. I'm defiled. I'm damaged. Why are you that way? Because of sin. Because of sin. Sheep aren't smart animals. If they were, they wouldn't get in the predicaments they do. May I submit to you that you and I aren't smart when it comes to sin? We actually think we can get away with sin. We're talking about that in couples class. Why do children get to the point where you have to back them against the wall before they'll tell the truth sometimes? They're like Achan. Achan could have fessed up a long time ago, and he didn't. He waited until the last minute. You know what? We think we're actually going to get away with it. David actually thought he was going to get away with a murder and adultery and lying and coveting. He thought, I'm clean. I'm scot-free. I can go. But all the while, he was roaring on the inside, he says. He said, my bones waxed old. He said, I felt like an old man with all this sin. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. We were never created to carry the weight of sin that we carry. And David said, I felt so bad on the inside until Nathan came and pointed that long finger and said, thou art the man. And David had to say, restore me the joy of your salvation. Give it back to me. I want to be excited about serving God. I want to be happy about my shepherd. I want to be happy about my Savior. I want to enjoy the relationship again. Right now it's strained. Why? My mind is defiled. My emotions are damaged. And I'm defeated in my will. I cannot do what I need to do. And he could not. I don't know about you. Sometimes I get there. And I'm so thankful that I have a Savior that comes looking for me. When I say, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why am I defiled and damaged and defeated? Why, I've been playing with sin. And I'm not smart enough to know how to get out of it sometimes. The shepherd comes looking. We all need a shepherd. And we need our shepherd to restore our souls from time to time when things look a little bad. In Psalm 147:3, he said, he healeth the broken in heart. How many of you ever had a broken heart before? Need to be restored. I have. He says, and bindeth up their wounds. How many have been wounded by someone, by what someone said or what someone did or what you did? I've got a broken heart. I've got these wounds that need to be bound up. He said, he healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds in Psalm 147:3. Come over to Luke 4:18. He says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus speaking, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I don't know about you, but I've been spiritually poor before. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Again, Jesus went to the brokenhearted, the broken, the maimed. He said to preach deliverance to the captives. I was captive in sin. And recovering of sight to the blind. I was blind, but now I'm see. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Why do we need our shepherd to restore us? Because we've been there before. We've been there before. It's not a pleasant place to be. But the psalmist says, you know what? He restoreth my soul, my mind, my emotions, my will. When they get defiled, damaged, and defeated, he restores. Not only do we need purification by restoration, we can get purification by our destination. Notice verse 3 again. He restoreth my soul, my mind, my emotions, my will. When they get damaged, defiled, and defeated, he can restore that. But also, notice this. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Somehow I got off the path. Somehow I got cast. Somehow I'm on my back. But after he sets me upright and gets me where I need to be, he says he's going to lead me in the path of righteousness. Make sure I stay where I ought to stay. Amen. That's good. That's good. That's good. In other words, he's going to point over and say, you don't want to go over there anymore because last time you went over there, you were like this. This is where you want to go. Aren't you glad we have a Savior like that? That says, don't go that way. Go this way. Go to 2 Timothy 3:16 with me right for a second. Because he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, and that's warning of a fault, for correction. And notice this. Excuse me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof. That's a warning of a fault. For correction. That's getting you back on track. And for instruction in what? Righteousness. What am I saying? He said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Our shepherd not only sets us upright by restoring our defiled minds and our damaged emotions and our defeated will, but he also leads in righteousness. John chapter 10, show you something here real quick. Go over to John chapter number 10. In John chapter number 10, Jesus is speaking about his sheep. And notice what he says about his sheep in John chapter 10. And again, if you can't get there, just write it down. John chapter 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not in by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice. Notice this. And he calleth his own sheep by name. And what? Leadeth them out. What does it say in Psalm 23? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. In other words, Jesus says, you know what? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I call them. And I say, this way, come follow me. And they follow me as I lead them. Why? He's the leader and he's showing me the way. What do you say? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for name's sake. In other words, what would Jesus do? Follow behind his pathway. And whatever he does, that's what I do. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's probably for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know what happens oftentimes for us? We get off track. We get away from righteousness. We get away from the path that Jesus has showed us. And David said, you know what? He not only restores my soul, he not only sets me back right up, he goes and sets me on the path of righteousness and he leads the way. Amen. Whenever you and I sin, it's because we're not following Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? Amen. You cannot say that Jesus led me to sin because he doesn't lead you into sin. He leads you contrary to sin. He leads you in the opposite direction of sin. Matter of fact, the Bible says abstain from the very appearance of evil. I don't even want to get you close to it. Why? I know your weakness. I know you're prone to get cast on your backs. So I don't even want to get close to it. By the way, if you have a problem with money, you probably shouldn't work in a bank. You got a problem with alcohol, you probably shouldn't work in a liquor store. Shouldn't work in one anyway. You got a problem with cigarettes, you probably shouldn't work at a tobacco factory. You got a problem with immorality? You probably shouldn't work with any sorts of forms of immorality. I'm just saying. Don't get close to it if you know you got a problem with it. Well, I'm going to test my manhood. You're going to test your sinhood. That's what you're going to do. And be sure your sins will find you out. You ain't testing nothing but your sinhood. And by the way, you got sin in you. So you're going to fall. And so he said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leadeth them out, it says there. A God will never lead us again where he can't take care of. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Path is a way or a going or a track. Righteousness, again, is the moral right, the equity, the truth, justice, or prosperity. It is the right way of God. It is right living according to the word of God. That's righteousness. By the way, we don't have it in and of ourselves. That's why Jesus had to give us righteousness. You don't have any. You say, boy, all my righteousness. You don't have any. The only righteousness you have, Jesus Christ had to give it to you and I when he died on the cross. And so anything that we do is in and through and by Jesus Christ. In other words, our shepherd, our Lord, leads us in the right way. Follow his life. John, you're in John chapter 10. Go down to verse 27. Notice what he says. He says, verse 26, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear what? My voice. And what? I know them. What do? They follow me. And so he gives you three things there. He says, you know what? My sheep hear my voice. He says, I know them. They follow me. When I say I'm leading the way, follow me, they come after me. The times that we sin, we're not following Jesus Christ. Just a fact of the matter. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All of what Jesus is trying to do as our chief shepherd in his leadership in our lives is to produce in us purification. And he's going to purify that in us by restoring our souls. He does it, but then leading us in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. By the way, it's his sake and not your sake. But it does help you. Can I get an amen? Amen? It does help you. And so what I want to look at here over the next several minutes is some verses where the Bible says Jesus does certain things, or God does certain things for his name's sake, because he's going to do some things, and we can expect these things for his name's sake to purify us on our destination. Because at the end of the road, you and I are going towards glory. The end of the road, it is Jesus Christ likeness that we're after. We want to be more like Jesus each and every day. Amen. By the way, you should be more like Jesus at the end of this day than you were yesterday. When you start becoming less than like Jesus, that means you have gone off the path. Can I get amen? Amen? Preacher, I don't like that, but it's true. It's true. When the sheep aren't following the shepherd, they're not going the direction the shepherd has for them. And they will go someplace else. So there's several verses I want us to look at. If you don't get a chance to get there before I get there, don't worry about it. Amen. The first one is going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 22. All these talk about for his namesake. 1 Samuel and chapter 12 and verse 22. 1 Samuel 12, 22. And if you can't get there fast enough, just write it down. Amen. Each one of these for his namesake. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and notice verse 22. Samuel, of course, speaking here. He's telling them not to go aside in verse number 21. Don't go after vain things which cannot profit them. But then in verse 22, he says, for the Lord will not forsake his people for what? His great name say, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. In other words, what Samuel's saying is, look, God's not going to forsake you for his name's sake. His name is at stake here. And so because of that, he is not going to forsake you. Hey, the New Testament is said this way. He shall not leave us nor what? Forsake us. By the way, some people look at Israel. God has forsaken Israel. God has not forsaken Israel. He's not forsaken Israel for his name's sake, because his name and his reputation is at stake, because he promised them that he would be their God. They would be his people all the way back to Abraham, all the way through scripture. You still find it. And in the future, in times and millennium, guess what? Who's going to be in charge? The Israelites, the Jews, because of his great name's sake, he has promised them. He said, you're my people. Aren't you glad that when God saves us, he says, you know what, for my name's sake, I'm not going to forsake you. Amen. I'm glad I can hold on to the promise. He will never leave me nor forsake me, because sometimes I get cast down. Sometimes I'm all fours up, and sometimes I get off the path. Sometimes I'm not leading. I'm not following his leadership, and I'm not going in the righteous way. But for his name's sake, he's not going to forsake me. That's, folks, that should be comforting. The sheep know that, hey, at the end of the day, the shepherd's not going to forsake me. And that's a comfort that you can have. Now, it doesn't give you license to sin either, because he still said, the rod and staff comfort me. Amen. We'll get to that later. Amen. And so 1 Samuel, he said, the Lord was not going to forsake his people for his name's sake. Come over to Psalm 25 and verse 11. Psalm 25 and verse 11. For his name's sake, what else will he do for me? Amen. Psalm 25 and verse 11. And again, you find over here in one of these psalms, it's a psalm of David. And he says this in verse number 11. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. So for God's name's sake, we're saying, Lord, forgive me for your name's sake. By the way, the only forgiveness we get is because of what Jesus Christ did at the cross. David is saying, hey, look, for your name's sake, I want to make you look good. And so I'm asking you to forgive my sin and pardon me so I can have a clean slate, a clean testimony, so I can walk again in your presence. Amen. That's good. By the way, you want God to forgive sin for his name's sake, because you have no namesake. I have no namesake. The only name that I have is washed in the blood. The only name I have is the name of the redeemed. Amen. That's the only name I've got. The righteousness, the redemption, that's all in Christ Jesus. So it's not for my name, it's for his name. And David said, pardon my iniquity for your name's sake. Why? It's great. If you were to add up your iniquity, I'm sure it'd be just as great. Well, preacher, I've got small sins. Small sins add up too. It's the old equivalent. What would you rather get hit with? A 1,000-pound pillow or a 1,000-pound brick? 1,000 pounds is 1,000 pounds. That matters not. Matters not. Hey, sin is sin. He said, pardon it because it's great. Show you another one. Come over to Psalm 31. Psalm 31 Again, a psalm of David in Psalm 31 in verse number 3. David said this in verse number 2. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. David said, hey, for your name's sake, lead me. God, to make you look good, lead me. Lord, guide me to make you look good. Get out in front of me. Blaze the trail. Let me see your glory. I want to follow after you. Lord, lead me, guide me. Sometimes we want to go our own way. But David said, for your name's sake, Lord, lead me. I'm prone to go. I'm a sheep. I'm prone to go my own way. David has proved it with his adultery. He's proved it with his murder. He's proved it with his lies. He proved it with his covetousness. I'm prone to go my own way. God, get out in front. God, lead me. God, guide me. God, be on the trail. I need your righteousness. And he says, for your name's sake, lead me. Your name is at stake here. Notice verse 4. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. David said, I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. If folks are laying things privately for him, guess what? You're prone to do things in your own strength, in your own power, and oftentimes you do it wrong. Well, they're out to get me, and so I tit for tat. I'll get them before they get me, is the old adage. They did me wrong, so I'll do them wrong. Two wrongs still don't make it right. I don't care how you add it up. David said, look, folks are out to get me, Lord. If you don't guide me, if you don't lead me, I'm going to take matters in my own hand, and I'm going to make a mess out of this. I'm going to make a mess out of this. Psalm 79 and verse 9 is another one for his name's sake. Psalm 79 and verse 9. What am I saying? He said, he restoreth my soul. He sets me upright, but then he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake, to make him look good, to glorify himself. Psalm 79 and verse 9. This is a psalm of Asaph. And notice what he says down there in verse number 9. He says, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins. Why? For thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Asaph says, you know what, Lord, for your name's sake again, deliver us, Lord. Wipe out the sin. Don't let them mock us. Don't let them talk about us. Lord, work on our behalf. Man, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have a leg to stand on. He said, Lord, I need you to work. For thy name's sake, I'm calling your name into question here. It's your reputation that's at stake here. Psalm 106 and verse 8, this is applied to Israel, but I like this one, Psalm 106. And in Psalm 106, he's going down and talking about praising the Lord in Psalm 106, and then he's talking about all the things that happened to Israel. And notice what he says down there in verse number 8. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake. I'm glad that God saved me for his name's sake and not my own sake. He saved them for his name's sake that he might make his mighty power to be known. Amen. He rebuked the Red Sea also. He dried it up, so he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. What happened? He said, for his name's sake, he saved them because God wants to be glorified. He saved you and he saved me to make him look good. Why? Because you can't save yourself and I can't save myself. But he's taking us and he saved us and he separated us and put us over here. And he said, look, that's mine. They belong to me. Hey, remember Satan? He came to accuse Job. And God said, he's mine. He's mine. And Satan said, he's only serving you because of all these things you've given him. But let me at him. He'll curse you to your face. God said, he's mine. He's mine. Go have him. Well, skin for skin. He'll give all for his life. But you let me touch his body and I bet he'll curse you. He's mine. He's mine. You can have him, but don't kill him. Guess what? God still saved him and spared him. Oh, he might have been on his last leg. He might have been ready to call it quits, but he didn't. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know I'll send him at the end. Hey, that my flesh, the worms may destroy, but I know whom I have believed. I know what's going on. Hey, he saved me for a reason. He saved me for a purpose. He's my God. It's for his name's sake. Hallelujah and praise God. I ain't been like Job yet. But you know what? For his name's sake, he saved me. To make him look good. Hey, Christian, you might not know this, but you make God look good. God has no hands down here. He has no feet down here. He has no eyes down here. Although he's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He uses you and I. Our hands, our hand, our eyes, our feet. He uses all of that, amen. Yes, the hand, I know that we use the scriptures all the time about the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro. I'm not talking about in that sense. I'm talking about what people can see. People see you. And you are the representation of God that people will know at your jobs, at your schools, in your communities, wherever you're at. What did he say? He saved me for his name's sake. He saved me. Psalm 109 and verse 21 is another one. Psalm, over and over again in the Bible, it's always talked about for his name's sake, for his name's sake, for his name's sake. 109 and verse 21. Notice what he says, but do thou for me. This is a psalm of David again. Do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Deliver thou me. Why? I'm poor and needy. My heart is wounded within me. I'm gone like the shadow when it declineth. I'm tossed up and down as the locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh faileth of fatness. David said, you know what? I need you to deliver me. Now, sometimes we can get in predicaments, and for God's name's sake, he's going to get us out. Sometimes we get into stuff that's on our own foolishness, and God gets us out for his name's sake. His name's sake. Now, we don't like to talk about these things, but it's true. God doesn't have to get us out, but for his name's sake, he does. He didn't have to save us, but for his name's sake, he did. He didn't have to deliver us and rescue us, but for his name's sake, he does. I like that. Give you something that we don't like. I'm going to read these next couple here. Psalm 143, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. Isaiah 48:9, for my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise I will refrain for thee. So God said, you know what, for my name's sake, I'm going to put my anger off. I'm not going to do what I said I was going to do. And the other one, bring my soul out. But come over to Matthew chapter 10. This is one that we don't like. And we fight this one with tooth and nail. Matthew chapter 10. What am I talking about? He restoreth my soul. He sets me upright. But then he leads me in the path of righteousness. He wants me to go the right way for his name's sake. Matthew 10 and verse 22. And this is one that we really, really don't like. And if we had our way, we would not submit to this whatsoever. Jesus talking about what's going to happen in the end times. And he says, verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. He says, you know, for my name's sake, you're going to be hated. You name the name of Christ nowadays, amen. It's popular to be a Christian. Everybody's a Christian, but you slide up with Jesus Christ and him alone. You make enemies real fast. You get with Jesus Christ and his righteousness and a separated life, you make enemies real fast for his name's sake. Well, I don't do that because the Bible says, oh, you're one of those people. Well, I'm a Christian too, and I believe that same-sex marriage is okay. Well, I'm a Christian, and I believe it's not because what the Bible says, and you'll be hated for his name's sake. Amen. It's already happening. Well, our country says it's okay. Well, my God says it's not. Last time I checked, he made this country. Amen. But you'll be hated for his name's sake. You start naming the name of Christ, you'll be hated of all men for his name's sake. Why can't we just all get along? I was just talking to somebody just a couple days ago, and they said, well, why can't we just all get along? I said, we could have. We all have the same God and the same belief. We'd be fine. Well, the Jews should be able to get along with the Muslims, and the Christians should be able to get along with the Catholics, and we should all just get along. Well, it'd be good if we all believe the same thing, but we don't. People believe different things about the word of God. Matthew 19 and verse 29. Show you this one. For his name's sake. Matthew 19 and verse 29. And again, these are some of the ones that we really just don't like. Matthew 19 and verse 29. Talking about the things that we may have to give up. And every one that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, notice this, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. He said, hey, look, wait a minute. If you give up some things down here, don't worry about it because I got a better reward for you. But I got to forsake father and mother and give up all these houses and lands and get away from all this stuff. Sometimes that's what makes you cast. You got too much baggage. You got to get rid of some things. Folks, sometimes family can be a burden on you. Sometimes friends can be a burden on you. Sometimes material possessions can be a burden on you. Doesn't have to be, but sometimes it can be. And Jesus said, hey, look, if you're not willing to forsake houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wives or children or lands for my name's sake, he said, you're not going to receive the blessing. It's all for my name's sake. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, not for foolishness. Some say, well, I want to get rid of them anyway. I don't like them anyway. No, that's the wrong reason. Well, I didn't like the way they said that anyway, so that's good to get. No, it's not. You know, it's about for his name's sake. Standing up for righteousness. Why? He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. So you know, we don't like this one. Matthew 24 and verse 9. Again, talking about in the end times. Matthew 24 and verse 9. Notice what Jesus says. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. We don't like that. And shall kill you. We definitely don't like that, even though we get promoted. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I don't like that. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Why? For Jesus' name's sake. He said, you're going to be afflicted. So I'm going to kill you. They're going to hate you. All nations are going to be against you for my name's sake. Why? It's not going to be popular in those times to name the name of Christ. They will kill you for naming the name of Christ in those times. Now everybody, I'm a Christian. Everybody's a Christian now. And you ask them, well, how'd you get saved? Well, you know, I saw a vision. Well, I saw light. Well, I spoke in tongues. Well, I got baptized. Well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Well, none of those saves you. It's by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's by repentance of sin and receiving of eternal life. A repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That what saves me. But it's popular to be a Christian. Everybody's a Christian. But for his name's sake, he said, you know what? Be ready to get killed. Be ready to get some afflictions. I'll be ready to be hated of all nations because I'm telling you, it's right around the corner. Acts 9 and verse 16, when the apostle Paul got the call to preach and the call to surrender his life, Jesus gave him this message in Acts chapter number 9 and verse 16. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Jesus said, you know what, tell him that he's going to suffer for my name's sake. There's some things that he's going to have to go through to suffer. What am I saying? Some things that we can expect for his name's sake to purify us on our destination. Why? He's leading me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's going before. He's blazing the trail. He said, I restored you. I restored your mind. I restored your emotions. I restored your will. It was damaged. It was defiled and it was defeated, but I restored you and I'm leading the way. And there's some things that you can expect as you stand for my name's sake. And many don't want to stand true to the word of God because of that. They'll claim I'm saved. And you say, well, come out from among them, be ye separate. Say, look, well, you know, I think you're being a little bit legalistic with that. Well, you ought not touch that. Well, I think you're being a little bit legalistic with that. And Jesus drank wine. Well, I got this preacher over here, prophetess so-and-so, and well, yeah, you're talking about the Bible says this, and I think you're being a little bit chauvinistic here. That only men can preach the Bible. No, ladies can preach the Bible too. The Bible says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't say be a pastor, though. Can I get an amen? Amen. But see, you'll be hated for his name's sake, even amongst your own people. I had some interns in my office, and they were asking me about dealing with stuff like that when you take a stand and you take a position and folks don't agree with that. And if it comes from your own family, I say you stick with the word of God. Yep. You stick with the word of God and you stick with the word of God. Don't back down from it. Don't apologize for it. Stand true to it. Amen. And stand toe to toe with it. And guess what? You won't have a problem. Because at the end of the day, if they got a problem with this, they got big problems. Now, they got a problem with me. You know, I'm just a man like them. But they got a problem with this. They got to deal with God. Amen. I will show how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Go back over to Psalm 23 as we close. What am I saying? David said, he restoreth my soul. The purification by restoration. He restores my soul. He sets me upright when my soul is defiled, when my mind and my emotions are damaged, and when my will is defeated. He sets me upright. But then he also purifies me, not just by restoring me, but also by my destination. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The very presence of the shepherd provides restoration of our souls. The calm he brings, the peace he gives, the comfort he gives, peace. be still. What am I saying? David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He blazes the trail. There's a lot of things that I can expect for his name's sake. One of the things that I'm resting on and continuing to rest on is he saved me and he'll preserve me, because he'll never leave me nor forsake me, no matter how bad it gets. At the end of the day, the sheep still belong to the shepherd. I don't care how dirty they get. I don't care how shorn they get, or how they have to shave all their wool off. I don't care how disfigured they get. I don't care how muddy they get. I don't care how many ticks they have on them, how many flies they have on them, how lean they are. They still belong to the shepherd at the end of the day. And whatever situation you find yourself in today, you still belong to the shepherd if you're saved. Hey, if David could claim restoring to me the joy of thy salvation, you can too. Hey, if Peter could get restored after denying the Lord three times, you can too. I don't care where you're at or what you've done. The shepherd said, I'll not forsake you. Hey, I saved you. I've gotten you out of these things. I love you. I want you, and I'll restore you. I'll set you up. I'll put you where you need to be, and I'll lead you. You just have to follow me. Hey, folks, sometimes it gets bad. Sometimes we will face afflictions. Sometimes people will hate us. But guess what? If the shepherd loves me, you can hate me all you want. Preacher, they're hating on me. That's what God's loving on you. Amen. God's not going to hate on you. You say, man, they got me on Facebook and they're just hating on me. Well, amen. Get off Facebook and they won't hate on you. Just hate on you to your face then. Amen. Get off the book. Hey, folks, people are going to say what they're going to say. But at the end of the day, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There can only be true happiness. I mean, there can be no true happiness apart from true holiness. And sometimes holiness comes with being afflicted, or comes with being in a predicament that we really don't want to be in. But at the end of the day, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness to make him look good. Let me ask you a question. Are you making him look good today? Are you leading him? I mean, is he leading you and you're following him? Are you making him look good for his namesake? His namesake, he's trying to do some things in your life today. He's trying to do some things in my life today. And he's saying, just follow. Just follow after me. I'm going to lead, but you follow. How are you following today? If you're here today without Jesus Christ, you need to be saved. I've never followed him into salvation. I've been baptized and I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to do good, but I don't have any clear leading that I'm saved. Maybe today you need to be saved. Maybe he needs to be not just your shepherd, but your savior. Lord is my savior as well as my shepherd. I shall not want. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed when looking around. I don't know about you today, but I know there are times in my life that I need to have my soul restored. My mind, my emotions, and my will at times get defeated, gets damaged, and gets defiled. And I need a God who loves me to come and set my feet on the solid rock. I need a God who loves me to set me upright again. With every head bowed and every eye closed and looking around, how many would say today, preacher, I know I'm saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's my testimony. And you would raise your hand saying, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I know if I died, I'm going to heaven. Amen. That's my testimony. Amen. Hands going up all over. Amen. Amen. You may put them down. How many would say, preacher, I'm not saved today. And would you pray for me that I can get saved? I'm not sure about salvation, eternal life. I'm not positive, but would you pray for me? You raise your hand. Man, woman, boy, or girl, you raise your hand. I'm not sure. I'm a Christian. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Well, Christian, how about you? Is he needing to restore your soul? Maybe your mind, your emotions, and your will has been defiled, damaged, or defeated. And maybe he's trying to restore you, trying to put you upright. And maybe he's trying to lead you in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Maybe he's trying to purify you in that way. And you can't restore yourself. And you can't lead yourself, but you can definitely be restored by him, and you can definitely follow him for his name's sake. And maybe today he's doing something in your life. Maybe you need to come to an old-fashioned altar. Give that over to God and say, God, you know, restore the joy of thy salvation. And Lord, then lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. And there's some things that I may have to go through, but Lord, I want you to lead me. Maybe that's you today. During the invitation, why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar, give those things to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm going to make a decision to follow after you. No matter what happens, I'm going to do it for your name's sake because you've done so much for me for your name's sake. Father, bless now this invitation. Help us to make decisions that we need to make based upon you, Lord, restoring us in our soul, our mind, emotions, and our will. Whether we've been defeated, damaged, or whatever the case may be, help us to allow you to restore us, and then help us to follow you for your name's sake in righteousness. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Minister during this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. As music plays, maybe God spoke in your heart. Maybe you need some things that you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and just deal with God.
Out of my bondage,
maybe your mind's been defiled, emotions been damaged, your will's been defeated by someone or something.
Jesus, I come.
There's some situations in your life, maybe
Jesus,
at work, maybe in your family, maybe with a friend, maybe with a foe. Or maybe like David, you'd say, why am I cast down, oh my soul? Why am I disquieted? Why am I defiled in my mind? Why am I damaged in my emotions? Why am I defeated in my will? Maybe you'd say, Lord, would you speak to me? Lord, would you do what I can't do for myself? Purification by restoration. He restores my soul. He sets me upright. Purification by destination. He leads me in the path of righteousness. What is it? I don't know where you're at, but I know the Savior can be your shepherd. And the shepherd can be your Savior. And he should be your Savior and your shepherd. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. They will go on to say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear anyone. Because you're with me. Where are you at today? He restoreth my soul. Jesus, I come.
Jesus, I come to thee. Out of earth, so
the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Make me lie down in green pastures.
Out of life's storms.
Leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul.
Out of distress.
Leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Jesus, I come
for his name's sake. What is he doing in your life?
Out of unrest
for his name's sake. David said much, pardon my iniquity for your name's sake. Lead me, guide me for your name's sake. Deliver me, save me, bring my soul out of trouble. Defer thine anger, which may be hated for his name's sake. You may have to forsake all for his name's sake. You may have to suffer for his name's sake.
Out of myself to dwell in thy love. Out of despair into raptures above. Upward for
Jesus, I come.
Jesus, I come to thee.
Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for the blessing that David could leave for us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to know that he has been cast down before and had need of restoration, knowing that he in and of himself could not restore himself. And Lord, he had the courage to say that you lead him in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, that road of righteousness might not always be a smooth road, but it always is a right road. It's always a dividing road. It's always a road of correction and counsel and care. But it brings courage, brings conviction to the Christian. So Lord, help us as we leave here today to leave here with made up minds that we want you to restore us in our soul. Our minds, emotions, and wills can be defeated, defiled, and damaged. And Lord, we want you to lead us and your path of righteousness. Lord, help us as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness to know that all the things that you would have for us can be added unto us as we follow. Dismiss us with thy blessings. Lord, bring us back tonight to hear Tony Griffin, the burden you've laid upon his heart. Help us to partner with him in this upcoming year. See souls saved out of Sin City to go into the heavenly city. Thank you again for meeting with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor White, won't you come give us any last minute instructions that we need to have and then dismiss us. And we'll be out in the foyer. Deacons and pastors be out to shake your hand and answer.